on the 8th, which is a week from today. There could be some changes to our time for the Christmas party. So I need you to watch your communication outlets, whatever they are, my EMIC, and your emails from Holden. So because I just got that news yesterday that it could change to after church because of Pastor Terry's schedule. Of course, you see that Pastor Lynn will be at our chapel tomorrow from 10:30 to noon. Of course, New Year's Eve service coming up with Brother Copeland. It's December as of today, right? Praise the Lord. Those of you that are interested, Pastor Lynn Hammond did a call for fasting back when, I don't remember, but first Thursday and Friday every month for Daughters for Zion. There was a flyer that went out with the prayer points and stuff. We don't have those today. And, of course, don't forget these very important prayer conference calls. Israel Components of EMIC with Betty Chapman every Tuesday from 8 to 8:20. All the contact information is there for you. Prayer Target, a prayer against abortion with Sheree Coleman. Second and fourth Monday. Times are there. Is that still good, Sheree?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, and the information is there. Get on those calls and encourage others to get on them. Prayer Target for Prayer Against Threats every Monday from 8 to 8:20 with David Secrest. That's David. Brother David just walked in. Is that still right? You still okay? So great. We want those calls to be ongoing like they are, and you guys get on them. If I can remember one, some of these times, I'm going to hop on, but most of the time I'm at work at those times. You have the words of the Lord from Pastor Terry from last year, Brother Copeland last year, and then this year. So we're going to get more into on purpose, working those words corporately. You know, God has me on this prophetic trail right now, building us. We are building up to something. And if you've been watching the services, you can see the trend, how that prophetic place has opened up, and that's what we have to have. So I was thinking about, I'm going to reteach last week since we didn't record it, but I'm glad I'm going to for several reasons. And one is because God brought something to me that I hadn't thought about in a while, and I'm going to quote it from it to you today. So we've been talking about this prophetic praying. And prophetic praying, and I've been explaining it to you, we're going to get into a little bit more of what that really is. The Lord helped me come up with a definition, pretty much, you know, as a nutshell, what they call it, the Cliff Notes version of prophetic praying, is, you know, the priest, ministry of the priest and the ministry of the prophet comes together in this amazing operation from, you know, the Holy Spirit. And what we've been learning in these teachings is that we all have that part in us. Remember, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So we all have been called to pray this way. And in particularly us here at this ministry, because we all are under a prophetic umbrella because of our prophet, Brother Copeland, and our pastor who happens to be a prophet, Pastor Terry. So now, so then our antennas should be up on the subject of the prophetic all the time because of the association, because of what God has joined us to. You know, we have been joined to this ministry, I believe, to help bring about this flow of the prophetic, this constant flow. And, my knees are strong. And so then... that's why the Lord has had me on this. You know, we looked at Numbers 11 several weeks ago, at those 70 elders that God told Moses to pull. And he said that they all prophesied. The spirit of Moses was put upon them and they all prophesied. But guess what? They didn't give that anointing preeminence, and they didn't perpetuate it. So only two people, Eldad and Medad, perpetuated and gave it the preeminence that it deserved, and so they flowed in it. The others could have, but they didn't give it the preeminence, or it wasn't on the forefront of their thinking like it should have been. And then because it, the two guys, the dad guys, someone called them the dad guys for lack of not turning over there, the dad guys, kept it up, and then they complained to Moses. Moses said, "Are you kidding me? I wish you all were prophets." You know, now, look, don't go telling people you're a prophet. Most prophets don't tell people that they are. People tell them that they are. So because here's the deal, all prophets are intercessors, but are not all intercessors are prophets. There are people that flow as a prophet in and out in prayer. Some of you probably do that here because guess what? Because it's by divine design. It comes with the territory. You can. Some of you don't, you know. For whatever reason, that's the Lord's business, how he does that. But, you know, we like titles. And, you know, it is not in the title, it's in the anointing. You know, and so you don't have to stand up and say I'm a prophet or a prophetess. I mean, if you are, somebody going to know it. And that's okay because, you know, if you focus on the anointed one, the one that called you, the calling to take care of itself. So and the title is not going to make you no more anointed than you are. It really not. I know a lot of people that are really prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists, but they are not walking in the anointing that they can, for whatever reason. So don't get caught up in that. But just know that this prophetic praying is available to you. You just want to start operating in that. And if you are a prophet, then it'll come up. It'll come. Yes, it will. You know, and so, you know, because sometimes I'll be thinking, if I'm a prophet, that scares me. I don't know what to do with it. So let me just pray. I know what to do with prayer. But, you know, let me just pray first. You know, like one time a family member announced to some other family members that she was a prophet. And my brother, who's a pastor, is an amazing man of God. He said, "Whatever happened to just being a Christian?" You know, like, because, you know, she act mean and everything. Then go announce to the family she's a prophet. My brother says, be a Christian first. So that's why I say to you, just be a Christian and a prayer first. The others will take care of itself, right? And I understand that there are... There are ranks in the spirit. I understand that there are positions that are granted, if you will, spiritually, when you're faithful. You know, it's kind of like, that we are an army. We are a family, but we are an army. Right. And, if you think about the army here in the earth, the natural army, if you will, or armed forces, because it works that way in the other branches as well. People go in. Sometimes they go in as a private, but then there are places they can get to. They can get to, you know, the sergeant, then the first class sergeant, second, whatever those rankings are. You can, and it's the same way spiritually. But you sure not gonna get there if you still doing the things that a private does, or if you won't even do at least what a private does. You see what I'm saying? So those are the things. And I am not God, so I'm not going to say, okay, Betty, you're a prophet, but, you know, Tanya, you're not. I don't know. You know, and but God knows, and I'm telling you, if you are, you'll know. But what I do know that God said, though, in Isaiah 57:6, that his house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Right. So because people want to, I think we fivefold ministers kind of mess y'all up in that we kind of not on purpose from the pulpit made people feel like they weren't anybody unless they were a fivefold minister. Mm. But we didn't mean to do that. You know, it's just the ministry that's out front. Mm-hmm. But if you would take up this prayer thing, you and God would just have a blast. I'm talking consistently, not just in title. I have the time of my life. I really do. And God just does things for me, and I'm thinking, really, better than I deserve. Because I just found out that this is the best place for me in that prayer room.
That's right.
In my room.
That's right.
Come on in the room. Right, Tanya? Come on in the room. Alicia, Esther, y'all know.
Come on
in the room. David, you know. So I just love that. I just go on in the room because, you know, I mean, whatever happens outside the room happens, but I'm going to go on in the room. And the Lord and I have such a great time. But as I was saying, God dropped this phrase from something Pastor Terry gave back in October of 2003 called a higher order of assembly. And it is a prophetic utterance from her about this ministry. And I was there just being really fleshy, just not wanting to do nothing, resting over the break. And I heard this phrase over several days. If you're a part of this church and this ministry, you are not called to just touch the prophetic or have an experience of the prophetic. In fact, I'm going to read it to you. So it's called a higher order of assembly, and she gave this prophetic utterance in 2003, and she says, the signs of the coming of the Lord are here. And there are signs that are pointing us to be prepared for that coming. I'm telling you, everything, all history hangs on two golden hooks. The first coming and the second coming of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost. And everything that we're doing is all leading up to this second coming. Now, so in preparation for his coming requires, listen to me, a higher level of spiritual awareness and sensitivity. And I'm telling you, once you get the flowing in the prophetic, that realm opens to you. That place, that higher level of sensitivity. The spirit of seeing and knowing, remember? The spirit of seeing and knowing opens up to you as you begin to flow and on purpose flow and start praying prophetically. Now listen to this. She says, in preparation for his coming requires a higher level of spiritual awareness and sensitivity to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Before I move on, I'm going to go ahead back to my tradition here and read from Perry Stone book of the season that we're in, because if not next week, the next week, I'm going to talk about, I'm going to show you from the word how that for every decreed time of God, everything that God decreed, there had to be prophetic praying to support it. I'm going to show it to you from the word. You know, there's chronos, time, and there is decreed time. So, you know, chronos time God gave us. If you go read through Genesis, when he said he called the night, night, and the evening, evening, and the day, day, that's the time. You know, like we get up in the morning, we go to bed at night. No, it's 9:15. That's chronos time. But within chronos time, there are decreed times of God, because Adam kind of messed up God's time clock, in a sense. I won't say he messed up God's time clock. He messed up time. So because there are certain events, so God had to come back and decree these events called decreed time. But so I'm getting ahead of myself. But next week. But I began to think about that and meditate on that over these last days. And, you know, one of the decreed times we first see it in Genesis is when God spoke to the serpent. In the, you know, in Genesis 3, he said, someone going to come bruise your head. He was decreeing that Jesus was coming. He was there was a decreed thing. He had to decree it because Adam, he gave up the lease. So he committed high treason. So God had to find a way now to get Jesus in the earth. And so he had to decree the time within the chronos. All right. I feel anointed, Lord. If you want to teach that today, I'll teach it. But I don't want to, because I got to go back and study it out. But I saw glances of it in scripture, how that, whoa, wait a minute. Every time God decreed something, and then I saw in the word how that Anna and Simeon, so God had decreed this time when Jesus would come, and guess what? Anytime, if you flow in this, even prayers should get skillful in this, but when you begin, but in particularly prophetically, when you begin to flow boy, you're going to know it. Simeon and Anna were prophetic prayers, and they knew there was a constellation for Israel. You begin to see it. You begin to see it. And so they knew because it had been decreed in Scripture. Same thing happened with Jeremiah. He saw that God that made a decree that Israel was going to be delivered from Babylonian captivity. Guess what? The Bible says he got to praying about it. Because prayer, see, Daniel, wait a minute. He's praying and he's like, wait a minute. Jeremiah says that these people should have been delivered after 70 years and they're still not. Well, guess what? Couldn't get delivered till there was some prophetic praying happening. But God had already decreed it in Scripture. Decreed time. Okay, so but we'll do that next week. But I want to get back to this. So she says, when Jesus dealt with John on the Isle of Patmos repeatedly, he said, let those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And all of his sayings had to do with the things that were to come. We have to be more alert in this place, in this church, in this ministry, as we are assembled. See, I'm talking about this corporate prophetic praying.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about individually as well, but I'm focusing. I'm taking us to a place that I'm believing God for a place to open up for us corporately to flow in this. Mm. She says, but we there in this ministry, as we are assembled together because of the calling that's on this ministry, and therefore that's on this church. Mm. Now watch this. She said, it is a ministry called to not just touch the prophetic. See, it's not good enough for us as prayer leaders just to touch the prophetic every once in a while. You know, but she said, not just experience the prophetic. That's good. I like experiencing it. And not just have moments of the prophetic as any believer might. But rather, everybody say, but rather.
But rather.
We are to be a steady and constant force. Steady and constant force in delivery of the prophet's anointing. Well, how are you going to do that? But by prophetic praying. There's a constant force and a constant delivery, or if you will, a dispersing of that prophetic anointing. Your place here, though it is on many levels, multidimensional, a great portion of your calling here. See, I heard just this one phrase over and over this weekend, and I went out in my car, found it last night, and got this out. Is to aid and assist. Look, you are to aid and assist the delivery, the function, the operation, and the increase of that prophetic anointing. Now, come on. Prophetic praying. I was so happy when God reminded me of this. I heard that phrase over and over. I thought, I got to get that. I have to find that. And the Lord said, it's in your car in the black bag. And I got it out yesterday. And I brought it in the house. I said, Lord, I got to find it and highlight it. Because I kept hearing her voice. See, I was here when she gave the utterance. Back in 2003. But so, if this is to the church, then first and foremost it's to prayers, and first and foremost above that is to prayer leaders.
Amen.
If the church, this church, is expected to be a constant force in a constant delivery of the prophetic, how much more are not we who are the spearhead in the spiritual supply in this ministry? You will notice that in the first coming of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord that went before him as he entered into his earthly ministry was the anointing of the prophet, John the Baptist. And the Bible says that there was no greater prophet ever than John the Baptist before that time. What made him so great? It was not the greatness of the man, but it was the greatness of the assignment. What make you so great? as prayer leaders? What makes you so great? Because you are so great. Don't forget who you are in Christ. You're not a great prayer leader because of your praying. You're a great prayer leader because of who you are in Christ. But you, why are you so great? Because of the assignment here. That's why I take my calling so serious. That's why my place is so great. It's because of the assignment that's on my life for this ministry. Didn't even seem that he did so much. Jeremiah was a great prophet. Daniel was a magnanimous prophet who reached into dispensations even beyond our own, and God told him to seal up the book of the end of time, until the end of time. Great prophet. Isaiah, great prophet. Ezekiel and others. Yet, John the Baptist, the days of his ministry was few. No signs, no wonders, no miracles. But what he did, he cried out for the coming of the Lord. Cried out for it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to come back to this. But I want to, again, unpack, if you will. I'm quoting Dr. Radke. I want to unpack this prophetic praying. And if I was to have a title for today's message, it would be the anatomy of prophetic praying. The anatomy simply means the inner workings of it. The inner workings. How does it work? How does it look? All right? Mm-hmm. Now, I said to you, man, I have so much revelation coming right now. Wow. I said to you this, Lord, let me retain it until and put it in something. I told you last week, where are my notes? Okay, right here. That this prophetic praying consists of two components: the ministry of the priest, which is on the behalf of the people, and the ministry of the prophet is on behalf of God. So, and this prophetic praying is those two ministries coming together, and you begin to not so much speak for God, but with you're working with God. 1 Corinthians, let me see, what's that reference? Blaze again, but about again, 3:9, yes, that we are co-laborers together with him. 1 Corinthians 3:9. It's not much praying to God as it is praying with God. And prophetic praying, I told you already, is required for this ministry, because of the call on it, the assignment. It is a prophetic ministry. The Bible says in Acts 3:24, we're all descendants of the prophets, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to get the king and the priest reference, it's Revelation 1:6. Now, but I want to talk about the anatomy of this prophetic praying. And today I want to talk about it in the context of these elements that I have experience and watch other generals like Pastor Terry and Lynn Hammond, Miss Billy, and Mary Lou and Miss Linda flow in. I've been around these people that they are skillful in flowing in prophetic praying. I don't even think Mary Lou realizes it sometimes. I don't think Miss Linda definitely doesn't realize it. I have to encourage her, you know, like, come on. Because she carries that, you know. And Ms. Linda's part of it carries a move of God that she and her husband walked in. Amen. And I know this, she's going to be able to get that out when we started corporately praying. Mm-hmm. That part is going to help us with this prophetic praying. Mm-hmm. Now, but these elements I want to talk about, number one is the revelation that comes with prophetic praying. You like I said to you earlier, Simeon got it. He had revelation. Oh, Daniel, are you kidding me? Remember when Daniel saw that they weren't delivered after they should have been after 70 years? And remember he got to praying on about it? He got over into the spirit. He got that prophetic praying, and all this revelation began to come to him. God began to show him, and he began to pray it out. Mm-hmm. And for the sake of time, I'm going to just paraphrase, and we may go back and look at it in details at another time. but the revelation that comes with it. You know, think about like Anna, think about Simeon, think about Paul. That's why I'm convinced Paul prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because he knew what that did. He knew that had to be a part of that prophetic praying, this prophetic place in prayer. And it even opened up a dimension for revelation. It opens up a whole dimension. I mean, watch Brother Hagin. Oh, my goodness. That prophet, you talking about a dimension of revelation? And then just watching him, it'll get on you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, and then the other element of prophetic praying is demonstration. It always, always comes with demonstration. You can look at Deborah, the manifestations that happen. You can look at Agabus, I think it was over in Acts, that began to prophesy over Paul with demonstrations. Even Simeon, he went and had demonstration. He went, got the baby out of Mary's arm and held the baby up, demonstrating. Said, this, it'll rise and fall with this one. You see? So that was demonstration in prophetic praying. You know, and like I said, we may look into some in detail because I want to go somewhere today, I think. Somewhere that I was not going to get to until next week, but I think I'll do it today. And if I'm out ahead of myself, I'll back up and repent and go back to these details. I mean, you know, you just have to work with God that way, right? But you can go throughout Scripture and see demonstration after demonstration of in prophetic praying. Look at John the Baptist. Prophetic, but he had demonstration. He was out in that wilderness. That prophetic anointing got such a hold of him that Bible said people went out to see what he was doing. He didn't have to go hand out tracts about the coming of the Lord. He got over there in that prophetic prayer and it drew the crowds to him. Demonstration. Yeah. And the other element that I really am trying to get to in a detailed way is the declaration. So let's go back to James, that infamous scripture. Remember I told you that God dealt with me about back in the early 2000s, late 90s when I was doing a prayer conference in the Carolinas. And I had preached, because back then, you know, I was just learning. So every time I did a prayer conference, I always went to James 5:16, part 2, you know. And so I was doing that. I had gotten an invitation to do a 5-day conference. It was a big one. It was like, wow, I was preaching twice a day. So, you know, as they say, I had to have some material, right? So And at that time, I was just learning about the scriptures regarding prayer. So, of course, James 5 was always mine. You know, God would take it and give me revelation just from that one scripture every time. So anyway, so one time, that time, particular time, I was doing this prayer conference and I was meditating in that. And the Lord said to me, you never read verse 17. And I responded to him and I said, I sure don't. He said, well, read it. And so I started with 16, the part that we always go to regarding prayer. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we. So that ruled out that, oh, Elijah was a prophet, Jeremiah was a prophet, Dan was a prophet. No, wait a minute. God is saying we all can flow. We all should pray prophetically because we're all descendants of the prophets. So he said Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 days and 6 months. Verse 18, and then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produces crop. Whoa. Now, when the Lord first showed me this, back in when I was doing that prayer conference in the Carolinas, I was teaching on authority, and he gave me about the authority in prayer. I said, oh, but now he gave it to me. He took me back here the other day. He said that was prophetic declaration. Remember, I told you I'm working on the message when to say when to pray, right? Because I think now, I think I may be on to something. I think where we might be lacking in our prayer life is the declaration part, the saying part. Yeah, we pray, like, but Mark 11, 23, 24 through 25, whatever those passages are, you know, it has say more than pray. But, you know, you're going to pray. I'm going to pray. But I'm telling you, I think we're lacking in the saying. I think we're lacking in the proclaiming and the declaring. And the Lord told me last week, he said, go look at it. This is prophetic declaration. He said, it ain't going to rain till I say so. Then when it was time, he wanted it to rain. He said, now it's going to rain. It'll rain when I say so. Mm-hmm. So a big part of prophetic praying is declarations.
Yes.
Let's see, get my notes now. I got to rely on my notes here because some of this is kind of new to me in a sense of finding scripture for it. So I did have a page dated today, didn't I? 12:1 right here. Right. So let's look at Jeremiah 6:18-19. Because now remember, Jeremiah never left his house. He did all this by the Spirit. Hey, Jesus. See, your spirit already know you're supposed to be doing this. That's how why it gets so excited, because it's in you. It's part of your DNA. And then you get excited and your spirit respond because it said, wow, what I've been waiting on you to step over into this. Verse 18, therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation of believing ones, what great things will I do to them. Hear, O earth, look at, he's declaring. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing evil upon this people, the fruit of their thoughts, schemes, and devices, because they have not listened and obeyed my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it. So he's declaring now. He's speaking, wait a minute, what if I went out there and said, hey, O earth, hey, oh, Washington, D.C., listen to me. This is a blah, 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 blah. Jeremiah declared, O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Yeah. Then he said it, what the word of the Lord was. Thus says the Lord, write this man, Coniah, down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his offspring shall succeed. You know, he was declaring. He was speaking for God. Now, look at Micah chapter 1, verse 2. Micah. Oh, there you go. Micah, chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, all you people, listen closely, O earth and all that is in it, and let the Lord God be witness among you and against you, the Lord from his holy temple, declaring. Job 22:28, famous scripture, you decree a thing, it'll be established. So that tells me that some things need to be established. There needs to be some more decreeing. And God's going to bring us to a place where we all decreeing, just like they did over in Acts, when after they had prayed, they got over in that prophetic place, and they lifted their voice in one accord and said, hear, O earth and land and sea. That's what I'm talking about. Is that a camera? Heck, who's watching me? Scott, there's a camera right there. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I don't mind. I'm living right for right now. Jesus. Well, duh, I saw that camera. But they look like those little ones that they, the hidden cameras, you know. Please. Thank God I came in here all right today. Well, I say turn. I'm getting off track now. Where did I say turn to? Okay, thank you. Somebody listening. Actually, I will start. My God, 27. You will make your prayer to him. And you will, he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. And you shall also decide. Okay, other words, wait a minute. Now think about Elijah. He had prayed because the Bible said he was like us. He prayed. He said, wait a minute. I'll fix them. I think I don't want no rain. He made it. He said, you'll decide. And then he said, you done prayed now, but when you going to decide and declare now what you prayed? When you going to decide and declare it to come to you? When you going to decide and declare time to move up? When you going to move your payday up? When are you going to move it into your future? You done prayed, but that's when the declaration come in. That's when you have to say. He said, you also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. And when they make you low, you'll say, oh, there's a lifting up. The devil try to get you down. You say, oh, no, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'll never be broke another day in my life. I'm rich. I consider Jesus. I don't consider the bank account. I consider Jesus who was rich, yet through my poverty, who was poor, rich, and he became poor, that I through his poverty may have abundance. And you begin to declare it. And you begin to command that bank account to fill up. See, don't be thinking about how. Just command it to fill up. Like Brother Copeland said, God will come by honest. He ain't going to steal it. Just command it to fill up. Declaration. And when you mix, when prophetic praying releases declaration, you can count it. It's over. You can't stop it then if you want it to. So be sure you know what you want. Because once you hit that spot, once you get over in that place and you declare, you can forget it. You can hang it up. It's done. It's done. So now I want us to go to who that came up to me last week and said something about, what's it, you, Marlette? About our daily reading was in Ezekiel. And I went back and looked at Ezekiel 37. And I thought, yes, indeedy. I forgot all about Ezekiel. Eskel 37. You all know the story. It's a famous sermon title, Can These Dry Bones Live? I remember I first heard that. I was in fourth grade. But it wasn't what God showed me. Shilabakasaha. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about among them. And behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain. And behold, they were very dry. Now it's one thing that bones, now they're dry. Let's see what this prophetic praying can do, this proclaiming. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord, you know. In other words, he said, what you going to do about it, Ezekiel? Are you going to open your mouth and cause them to live and revive them, give them life? That's what he means. You going to just stare at them when you have the power to prophesy, when you have the power to proclaim and raise them up? In fact, it is it's an analogy of the church being raised from the dead. And he says, you know, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Wait a minute, again? See, he had already told him, but he was scared, see. That's what we get, oh, it's no hope. Because Ezekiel said not only were bones in the valley, they were dry. It's not even any marsh left in them, not any marrow left, nothing. And God apparently had told him, because he said, prophesy to these bones. Proclaim it. Get on over in the spirit. Get out of your head and begin to declare. You're not praying enough now. It's time to prophesy. He says, thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will call breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. He even gave him what to say. Uh-huh. God's going to give you what to say. Yes, he said, and I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover with you with skin. And I will put breath and spirit in you. And you, and look, I'm getting ahead of myself. Slow down. And you, dry bones, shall live. And you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, man, there was a thundering noise. And behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling. When the last time you made some shake? When the last time you prophesied until you know something in the spirit broke? Something in the spirit shook. There was trembling. The demons fled from your presence. They let your money go. They let that sickness, disease had to die. Can't sit there and not say nothing. You got to get up and say something. He said it was thundering noise. And remember, over in Acts, when they were praying in that prophetic place, the place where they were, the Bible says, was shaken. Because they entered a corporate prophetic place. And he says, I prophesied there was thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, and bones to his bones. See, God knows how to put it together. You just got to say it. He knows how to get it to you. We be like, ooh, how he going to do that, though? He told me he was going to pay my mortgage all by December, and it's December 1st, and I still have 34 years left on it. Well, who cares? I don't care as long as, like Brother Coleman said, he'll come by illegal. He'll be honest. But we don't give him anything to work with. That's why he had to say to Isaiah, command is concerned the work of my hands, command you me. Give me something to work with. Now watch this now. Let's keep reading. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them. Oh, ask God what's going to skip something. But there was no breath or spirit in them. Watch this. Then said he to me, prophesy to the breath and the spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and the spirit. Wait a minute. What spirit? Prophesying to the Holy Spirit. I looked at some different commentaries, and some of them said it was in the sages, it's the Holy Spirit. In other words, prophesy. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, so breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and the spirit came into the bones, and they live and stood up upon their feet and exceed in great hosts. I mean, how much plainer can you get? After seeing that you have the same right to proclaim and declare as Elijah, as Ezekiel, as Daniel, as Deborah, as Esther, you have the same right, and more so because of Jesus living in us. Yes. And I'm so glad James 5:17-18 is there. Because he said, like, look, wait a minute, he was a prophet, but baby, listen, he didn't prophesy because he was a prophet. He flowed in this because he was a prayer, and that prophetic got over there with him. It wasn't the call of the prophet. It's not the call of the prophet that makes you prophesy, although the called prophets do prophesy. He was trying to show it's not the call of a prophet, it's the call of a Christian. It's the call of a child of God that calls you to flow over and declare and have what you say. That's what he's telling us in James. Don't get caught up on that Elijah was a prophet. He said, no, that's not the Milikandre, that's not the Abrasimine Kamro, Because that's not the, what's the word? That's not the determining factor, for less or better word. Right. That determine if you can declare and proclaim. It's the fact that you are a Christian, that you are a person of God, that you can get over and you can say, it is not going to rain till I say so, just like Elijah. So stay away from the calling of the prophet and focus on the Christian. You don't have to wait, say God tell you, oh, you called to be a prophet. Oh, thus says the Lord. No, that's what he got rid of that. He blew that. He blew that out of the water right there in James. So nobody can say, well, the reason I don't flow like that because it was Elijah, he was a prophet. And that's how come he said that and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. No, he said, I'm not going to let you off the hook on this one. Because, see, I made you a speaking spirit. And I got to have somebody to speak something.
Jesus.
So, that's all, folks, for today. So, soon come up here and pray a little bit about that. Somebody ought to be praying about something, all that.
Ando bahaye ne hosieva englino soprate e kayoko prata kadido makito vlene shongo mant atiklendo soprata atiklendo bakonde braka to komesho.
I just heard the Lord. He told me to get back up and I'm going to say a few things.
Yes, ma'am.
Zebra comrigate of the Bobo Roba da Hashekete deba. Brakataka menepo, rebedeche ke ha ha ha. Breko poposha kedema, aya. Yeah, we break it open now. Great portions now. Great portions now. Oh, break great places now. I declare and proclaim that this church is a place of the supernatural wealth transfer. I proclaim and proclaim in the name of Jesus that the anointing of wealth now is beginning to explode in every person in this church life. I proclaim and declare now. I proclaim and declare that in the name of Jesus, hidden things are being revealed. Oh, stolen things are being returned now. Money are being found now. I declare and proclaim now. Children are coming home. I declare and proclaim in the name of Jesus that we are walking a fresh and new anointing from this day forward. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy and I proclaim that the anointing of the spirit of Elijah rests upon Pastor George and Terry. I declare and proclaim that in the name of Jesus, there are diplomats come here. Diplomats come to this church. The wealthiest in the United States come here. I proclaim and declare in the name of Jesus that the harvest on every seed Brother Copeland has sown has come back 100-fold. I declare the 100-fold anointing now rest up on this congregation. I say in the name of Jesus, it's harvest time. It's time to reap in the name of Jesus. Put in the sickle, saith the Lord. Put in the sickle because the harvest is right now. But you got to reap with your mouth. Let that sword, two-edged sword, come out of your mouth. Let it be like a ureshakeredebo, a rukete mahashanai, a rukatai, imbrekatokorabakosha tarabakadad. I declare and proclaim in the name of Jesus that this church walk in divine health, wholeness in Jesus' name. I declare and proclaim kidneys now, new kidneys. I declare and proclaim, eyesight, the eyes of the blind are open. I declare and proclaim now the altars are full of blessing, altars full of healing, altars full of financial miracles now. In the name of Jesus, I declare, this is the season of write your own ticket. I declare and proclaim in the name of Jesus that all precious things come into this congregation. I declare jewels. I declare money. I declare in the name of Jesus, a rusticated by riches. I declare precious things. I declare hidden treasures now are revealed in the name of Jesus. Rekesh Sheketah, Bimakai, Bokasai, Mako, multiply. Multiply now. I declare divine multiplication. I declare divine augmentation now. And I say multiply again. I say prophesy and you will multiply. I say prophesy and you will multiply in the name of Jesus. Brokakakakoko. Brekakakakakakata. Brekakakakakoko. Brekakakakakata. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I prophesy. I prophesy. No more broke days. I prophesy. No more sick days. I prophesy. No more sad days. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. And by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I prophesy. Blank checks. I prophesy. Bank accounts now overflowing. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I said, hear, oh hell.
Yeah.
I said, hear, you thieving demons. You've been caught now. You've been caught with your hand in the cookie jar. And I say, the sword of the Lord is going to cut it off in the name of Jesus. The sword of the Lord is going to cut it off in the name of Jesus. And you will steal from God people no more. Rush out of the back here, Rabba Papa. In the name of Jesus, I declare the dead are raised in this church. I declare there will be no premature deaths in this church. In the name of Jesus. I declare the sword of the Lord in Gideon. I declare the sword of the Lord in Gideon. I declare Jehovah. Brukshka. 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 Brukha satasha. Brukshka. Brukshka. Come on. Brukshka. Do it. What up? Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Yes. Brush shaking. Yeah. Ruta. Rutaka. Ruka take capital cosata. Rika kaka kaka da bakasa. Push. 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 Yeah, yeah.
Record number of salvations. Record number of salvations. Record number. Record number. Record number. Number Rabba Hashonda. Rabba Hashem. Rabba Hashem. Bobo. Babies. 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 So Rabba Milky. 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 Rabba Hashonda. Rabba. Shende Rabba. Shende Rabba. Shende Rabba. 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 No more crying. No more crying. Profota de Kado, Bafa de Kabodo, Prophetic Dodo, Prophetic Door, Prophetic Doors, Prophetic Doors, Prophetic Doors, Prophetic Doors, Prophetic Doors, Prophetic Doors, 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 More Doors, More Doors, Deep, Deep, Deep. See the breath of the Holy Spirit. I see the breath of the Holy Spirit. I see the breath of the Holy Spirit. No longer alone. Always a prayer partner. The peace. The peace now. The pieces that we're missing. The pieces that we're missing. You put them in place. 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 Uba na shu daba.
Y'all have anything?
As the Spirit is moving, some of you are just wondering, I don't understand, Lord. I don't see all this happening. But just an image of what God just showed me of what's happening. When you look at this tree, how colorful it is, how there's so many different pieces and parts. That's how we are as a part of the body.
Hey, yeah.
You look at this tree, and there's a lot going on here, but each part is special. Each part has its place. Each part brings out something special. And that's how you are as you bring your part. So don't worry about whether you're fully understanding what's going on or not. Know that God sees you. And you are in your place, and your place, I mean, your part that you're bringing is complementing what God is doing now. So be fully confident in your prayer life and what God is putting in your heart, how he's ministering to you. Don't wonder if you're ever going to get to that place. Know that as someone spoke earlier, the Holy Ghost, he's your prayer partner. And he's helping you to develop in that place. So you'll be a part of the fulfillment of what God is doing in these last days. So your part is very valuable. Get fully engaged as you see the ministers ministering up here as much as you know. Don't ever think, oh, I'm not there yet or I don't have it. You have it because the Holy Ghost is in you and because you have great leaders that are showing you how to flow. So you're in your place, and your place is a perfect part of what God has for you in this day.
With what he's saying and what Mamavu's bringing out, focus on the what, not the how. You focus on the what. Talk to the what. Declare to the what. I'll handle the how.
Doors are opening. Doors are opening.
Doors, oh, the stage is being set for doors to open. Doors to open. Declaration. Stop. Stand there, Robert.